I want to thank the worship team for leading us again this morning in a time of praise and worship. Wow, what an opportunity, what a privilege we have to be able to come before God Almighty through to the throne of grace and be able to worship the Creator, the living God. Hallelujah. I am so thankful this morning that God has given us His holy word and that we can look at it, we can glean from it, we can learn from it, and I considered an awesome privilege to be able to share it with you this morning. I do not take lightly, I feel the responsibility of sharing the word in such a way that it accurately reflects what God was thinking when he wrote it, when it was written through the apostles. That's an awesome responsibility, to try and reflect what God was trying to say, and then share it with you and hopefully bring your minds to a place of connecting with the scripture there. So I encourage you this morning once again to not hear me, but to hear the Spirit of God speaking to you when the word is shared, when the word is read, when it's written. The word that's written is here for our benefit, and I'll try and talk as loud as I can until this here comes back on here. There we go. Thank you, Jim. I have started a series of sermons in the passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And I will be going on from verse 24 to 27. And I did a couple of sermons on that there particular verse. And just found again, there's so much in Scripture that we don't even touch the tip of it in our normal just sitting down and reading the Word of God. And so it's been good for me, and it's been a beautiful opportunity to share it with you. So the title of the message this morning is Follow Jesus. We looked at the scripture, and it says that if anyone desires to come after me, let him first of all what? Deny himself. Second, take up his cross. And today, Jesus is saying, follow me. And I thought about a time when I was a teenager. I was in Missouri with some friends, and we were at a friend's house overnight, and the next night we were going to go to a place where there was a youth gathering, and we didn't know where it was at. And the friend that we were staying with there jumped in his car, and we jumped in our car, and he said, follow me. We had no clue what for a ride we were in for. They have gravel roads in Missouri, and we left out of the driveway spinning stones, and up the road he went, and it was just after a while, all you saw was a cloud of dust. You couldn't see the car. It was just a cloud of dust. So we followed the cloud of dust as fast as we could, and it felt really dangerous because you're on gravel and it's kind of loose, and then we come to an intersection where he made a left turn, and then you saw him come out of the cloud as he made his turn, so he was a little ahead of the cloud and we could see over beside it. But as we came around the turn, again, we were behind him and the cloud of dust. And I had to think about how many times that it is that when we follow Jesus, sometimes it's really clear. Sometimes you can see clearly. The next time, all you see is a cloud. It's not clear. It's not, and we find ourselves needing to follow what we know is there on the other side of the cloud. And I hope that helps you with the message this morning that it is not always clear what the direction or where we're going and where we're heading, but I encourage you this morning again that when Jesus said, follow me, that is exactly what he wanted us to do. It was not a maybe, it was not a perhaps. And I'm continuing today with this here series. The series that I was doing was called All In. And I challenge us again this morning that as we look at following Jesus, that we look at it from the perspective of being all in for him. Being all in to follow him. Remember the word for 2024 that I shared with you is genuine. Being genuine. We cannot be genuine people of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are unwilling to follow him wherever he leads us to. Wherever he leads us. We looked at denying self and taking up the cross, and today we look at following Jesus. And the main point today that I want us to walk away from this message with this morning is counting the cost of following Jesus. When Jesus said to deny self and to take up your cross and follow me, there was a whole lot more in that follow me than meets the eye of just follow me. There is a cost to consider when we give ourselves to following Jesus. There is a cost, there is a price that it will cost us. And I hope that we can gather from that this morning. 1 Peter 2:21 says this, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And Jesus left a lot of illustrations, a lot of examples in Scripture of what it means or what it looks like to follow him and what he expects of following him. The idea is this, that knowing Jesus can happen in a single moment with a single prayer, while following Jesus happens over the course of a lifetime. It happens over the course of a lifetime. It's not a one-time done thing. But salvation is. You accept Christ, you pray a prayer, you repent, and the following Jesus starts. And sometimes it gets really difficult. Sometimes you can't see him clearly. Sometimes you can. And so I challenge you this morning to count the cost. I think Jesus uses these words strategically throughout his ministry when he calls people to follow him and he tells them to consider the cost. And I believe it's a question that we need to all answer this morning. What happens when I decide to follow Jesus? What happens when I decide to follow? It's a question that all of us should labor with or have an answer to somewhat, is what happens with that question. And I believe that if we answer this question, we'll understand what it means to be all in for Jesus. Because then, if we can answer this question of what happens when I choose to follow Jesus, then I will have an understanding that things are not always going to be easy. The denying self is not always going to be easy. The taking up the cross is not always going to be easy. The following Jesus is not always going to be easy. Again, looking back at verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires, he's talking to the disciples, and saying, if anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." One of the things that happens when we take up the cross, when we deny ourselves and when we take up the cross and we begin to follow Jesus, he gives us a different identity. When you start to follow Jesus, you become a different person. You are now a different person in the world than what you were before. You have a new identity. And as you think about this truth, that you have a new identity, where do you identify yourself? Following Jesus takes commitment. Following Jesus is a lifetime of commitment. And one of the things I find in our culture today, and even in the church setting, is that people are reluctant to make commitments. We live in a time and a culture and a world that is so busy and so full of things, so full of opportunities. And I think you find it more and more that people are reluctant to make a commitment to something because there might something better come along. And maybe some of you have experienced this with your teenagers. It's hard to get them to commit to something. And it's not just teenagers. I'm not just pointing them. I saw some parents here and I thought, getting a time
to be able to sit down together with devotions or a family time or that kind of thing gets more and more difficult because there are more and more things that are offered to do. And there's a reluctance to make a commitment in the culture that we live in. We don't want to be committed. Want to keep our options open is the phrase you hear many times. We want to keep our options open. So we're careful and a little reluctant to make a commitment. But the commitment of following Jesus is one that you have to make. It is a commitment that you need to make. Denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following Christ. Once we're born again, we begin a lifelong process. The disciple, let's look a little bit at that just briefly. The disciple is a student who learns from another. And secondly, a disciple is a follower who follows another so that they may become like them. Become like them. We are called to follow. Jesus said, follow me so that you can become like me. Today I'm looking at the cost of discipleship. What does it cost? Salvation is free. You can pay no price to earn it. But over and over, in the Bible, Jesus urges his followers to count the cost of following him. Count the cost of it. Throughout the history of America, it's been relatively easy to be a Christian. That's not the truth around the world. In America, it's been relatively easy to say that I will follow Jesus. And we do certain things and we think that we're serious about it. But the world really, overall, is a difficult place and a deadly place for those who are serious about following Christ. Here's some statistics. Since the death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, it's estimated approximately 43 million Christians have become martyrs who died for their faith. Wow. And this boils down to every day over 300 people are killed for their faith. And we have a problem standing up in the American crowd that we live in being different, standing out. Somewhere along the way, we become convinced in this country that Christianity is easy. You just, all you have to do is you have to ask Jesus into your heart, first of all. And I don't make light of that. I don't knock that. That is true. You ask Jesus into your heart, and then you read your Bible from time to time. You go to church occasionally. You say a few prayers, and you're good to go. You can go on living like you want to live. You can do it your way and still get to heaven. But is that what Jesus meant when he said, follow me? Remember, not everyone who goes to church is a disciple. In fact, Jesus distinguishes between a crowd and a disciple. In Matthew 8:18, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side with his disciples. He saw the crowd, but he departed to the other side with his disciples. There are crowds, and then there are disciples. How do we know the difference? How do we know the difference? And I ask you this morning, do you think that you're in the disciple crowd? Are you among the disciples, or are you just in the crowd? It's a question I had to ask myself. Luke, are you really a disciple, or are you just in the crowd? And it's a question we need to all ask ourselves. Wherever Jesus went, there were crowds that followed him, but most of them were just there for the spectacle. They saw the sick people healed, demons cast out, and some were there for the food that Jesus provided. I believe that. There was big things happening. We want to go see this. Now listen carefully. Basically, the crowd was there for what they could get from Jesus. But the disciple also wants to give to Jesus. The crowd was there because of what Jesus could do for them, but the disciple wants to know what they can do for Jesus. The crowd wants to listen to Jesus, but the disciple wants to become like Jesus. The crowd wants Jesus to bless them, but the disciple also wants to be a blessing to Jesus. The crowd does not want to pay the price, but the disciple will pay any price to follow Jesus. I ask you, are you following Jesus this morning? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to give up everything? Are you willing to give up your popularity? Are you willing to give up your home? Are you willing to give up all the things that you have and follow Jesus? He doesn't make that call the same for everyone. And we'll see that as we go through this, that there are different calls. There are many verses that reveal that what Jesus expected of the true disciple. He said things like this: you must do this to be my disciple, or you cannot do that to be my disciple. There are many things that Jesus has listed and throughout Scripture that he points out what it means and what it looks like to be a disciple. And I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but I do have 8 things to be a disciple that we will look at quickly. And so number one is this: to be a disciple, you must count the cost before you follow Christ. That's a call from him. Salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. So Jesus tells us to count the cost. Luke 14:27-30 says this: and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish. So he calls us to counting the cost. If we're going to follow him, if you're going to go after him, if you desire to go after him, the first thing you need to do is consider the cost. Jesus is very clear that there is a cost to follow him. The cost is the same, but to each of us have an individual cost. What is your cost? What is it that you need to give up? What is it that's standing to? For example, with the rich young ruler, it was giving away his money. Jesus called him to give away his money. So for the rich young ruler, it may be different than what it is for you. What is God calling you to count the cost as you follow him? In Matthew 8:18-20, and when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Interesting. What he was saying to this disciple that wanted to follow him, he's saying, are you ready to count the cost? Are you ready to consider the fact that you will be removed from your home? Because when we're out traveling on the road and there's no place for me to lay my own head, and we're not going to be staying at the Taj Mahal in Jerusalem or anything like that, this is going to be difficult. Are you ready to follow? Are you ready to take up the cross? Are you ready to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me? Because it could get messy. You know, we'll be ministering to people. We'll be touching lepers and stuff like that. We'll be dealing with demon-possessed people. And by the way, I'll end up on a cross in Jerusalem. If you follow me, you'll be ridiculed. You will be persecuted. That was when Jesus reached out to the disciples and said to them, if you're willing to follow, if you desire to come after me, and you deny yourself, and you take up your cross, and you follow me, these are things that you may experience. If you're here this morning, and you're following Jesus, and you're experiencing some really difficult things, your master, your shepherd, your teacher did also. To the cross, to death. Are you sure you want to follow him? Are you sure this morning you want to follow him? Following Jesus as a disciple comes at a cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Matthew 8:21, here's another one. The first man was a little overeager, as we see. He may not have considered the cost. In Matthew 8, 21:22, there's another one comes to him and says, then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, let the dead bury their own dead. And it brings me to my second point. To be a disciple, you must be willing to instantly obey what God calls you to do. If you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to follow him, it is not a matter of taking the time to work out whatever it is. If he calls you to follow him, then he expects you to follow him. And we find today that there are many people who, they want to finish school. They want to, first of all, find a job, and then they must concentrate on a career, or they need to get married and then have a family. And then they have children, and they have sports and school and band and a whole bunch of other things. And after a while, it's time to plan for retirement. All the while saying, yes, Jesus, I will follow you when I get around to it, when it suits, when it's good for me, I will follow you. And the list goes on and on, but Jesus wants to cut through the excuses, and he says, follow me. Third one, to be a disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. That means disregard, lose sight of, forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, dying also. You don't hear much about dying for Christ or even dying to self today. Most people don't like to talk about the cost of following Christ. They just want to reap the benefits. Think about it. There's this desire to reap the benefits, but not to talk about the cost of following Christ. Most people live a life based on their own thoughts and their own feelings. As Christians, we must die and live by God's will and God's word. It's human nature to live for self. It's human nature to live for self. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them rose again. Looking at verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Simple illustration. Someone walks up to you with a gun and points it at your head and says, you need to deny Christ or you die. Will you save your life or will you lose it? Will you lose your physical life to save your spiritual life? By saying, I will not renounce Christ, I will die. So they put the gun to your head and you say, you know what? I want to see my grandchildren tomorrow. This is really not worth it. And we forfeit, we lose. We save our life, our physical life, but we lose our spiritual life. Pretty sobering, and probably most of us here this morning, we look at that situation, we say, yes, I would be faithful to God, and I would die for him. I ask you, are you really willing to die for him in the big thing? If you're not willing to die for him in the little thing, if you're not willing to turn off the pornography, if you're not willing to look at modesty as it is, if you're not willing to do these things, if you're not willing to look at immorality and say, I will not, I will lose my life to save my life. If I'm not willing to follow Christ in the little things, then don't expect to follow him in the big thing when they put a gun to your head. It's sobering. Am I really willing to follow Christ? Am I really willing that for whoever desires to save his life will lose it? Am I really willing? But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Loses his life for the sake of Jesus will find it. 26 says, for what profit is it to a man that if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will it give a man? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, there's no profit. And I'm afraid that American people are bent on gaining the whole world and in the midst of it, losing their soul. And I ask you this morning, what will you give? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Number four, the disciple, to be a disciple, you must put Christ before everyone else. Luke 14:26-27, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and children, brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now we know that Jesus teaches us to love and to not hate. What he's saying is, are you willing to put him before all these things? Not that you should hate your wife and beat her and be ugly to her and that kind of thing. Not that. But are you willing to put Christ ahead at the beginning? Matthew 10:37, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Number five, to be a disciple, you must put Christ before everything else. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Are you willing to put everything that you have ahead? Are you willing to put Christ ahead of everything that you have? Number six, to be a disciple, you must abide in God's word. Listen to the scripture. John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we need to, if we're going to be disciples, if we're going to follow Christ, then we need to abide in his word. We need to be saturating her to follow him. You cannot be a follower of Christ and not know his word, because it is God speaking to us. It is his word to us. True disciples live in the word, and the word lives in them. Number seven, to be a disciple, you must love other people. John 13:35 says this, listen carefully. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You cannot be a disciple of Christ. He says, by this people will know. It's by this that the world will know. Is your love for each other. Is your love for each other. It's a very sobering verse. It's not by our church attendance. It's not by our Bible knowledge. It is not by our giving. It is not by our worship and our praying that we are known to the world. It is by our love for each other. That's how we're known to the world. People don't know you as a Christian because you can flip to a verse and read it quickly. They know you by your love for each other. All those other things are important. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of what we are and what we should be. But if we're going to have the true mark of Christ on us, we need to love. Almost 100% of people believe that Jesus was good and loving. If they don't see us living and loving like him, they don't believe we are his followers. This is why relationships are so important to evangelism. This is why relationships are so important to evangelism. We live it. Number eight, to be a disciple, you must abide in the vine and bear much fruit. If you're going to follow him, if you follow him in truth, faithfully, if you follow Jesus, you will bear fruit. The Spirit of God in you will produce fruit. And if there's no fruit, it's safe to assume there's no Spirit. If there's no fruit, it's safe to assume there's no Spirit. John 15:7-8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So there we have it again. One of the things of being a disciple is that we bear much fruit. So there I gave you 8 ways of discipleship cost. Are you willing to love? Are you willing to put Christ first? Are you willing to put him ahead of family? Are you willing to put him ahead of yourself? Are you willing to put him ahead of your things, your possessions? Are you willing to follow Jesus? When he says, follow me, will you truly follow me? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to their works. He will reward each according to their works. Were they works led by God, or were they works led by your own flesh, or maybe even by the enemy? What were the works done? Too many people today want a no-cost Christianity. They want a cheap grace. They want a cut-rate commitment. They want a bargain basement belief. These are some quotes I copied from someone else. They want a thrift store theology. They want a marked-down Messiah. They want a second-rate, super-cheap salvation. They want to pay the absolute lowest rock-bottom clearance rack price possible. Are you all in for Jesus? Are you all in for Jesus this morning? Are you looking for the cheapest part of him? I ask you, are you all in for Jesus this morning? Have you considered the cost? Following Jesus gives purpose to life. Following Jesus ends in eternal life. Following Jesus ends in heaven. That's the reward. That's what is beautiful. We all want that. You want it. I want it. Don't let these things get in the way. Don't let this world get in the way of what God has prepared for us. When he said, come and follow me, there is times it will not be easy, but I assure you it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Can I have an amen? Amen. It will be worth it all. Whatever you're going through, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Are you willing to count the cost? There's a cost either way. There's a loss of life either way. You either lose this life or you lose eternal life. Are you willing to count the cost? Father, we thank you this morning for your written word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we had to look at it. And Lord, I pray that we would all be able to embrace the call this morning to follow you. That wherever we're at, whatever the circumstance, Lord, whatever we are faced with, Lord, that we will follow you with integrity, follow you with the truth of heart, follow you boldly, that we will be able to see clearly. Lord, I pray that in times where we need to see you clearly, Lord, we know this morning that you will show yourself. In the times that you're behind the dust cloud, Lord, we want to follow you even there. And I know how difficult that is, Lord, so I pray for anointing, I pray for wisdom, I pray for peace, I pray for boldness, I pray for the ability to follow when we don't see clearly, and also to follow when it's clear. So Lord, this morning for the church, I pray that we all would be able to go from this place demonstrating to the world that we truly are faithful followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the chorister to lead us in a closing song.